the name of Jesus, amen. Earn your stripes and move up. As you move higher in your field, the more worker bees you get underneath you. That's the way of this world. In other words, the greater that you are, the more people that serve you. When in this place of authority, you have two major options. You can lord your authority over them, tell your worker bees what to do on and off the clock, because after all, you're the boss of them. Or you could be a steward of your position and only give job-related tasks to your subordinates. Either way, you're not going to be their servant. In this world, where authority and power is sought after, and where those who are considered rulers lord it over them, the pecking order needs to get sorted out. Where do I fall in line? Am I above or below? Who do I report to? And who do I get the control? God has indeed provided order in this kingdom of the left. However, he did not give the order to lord it over those under us. In today's gospel reading, Jesus gave a directive to his disciples when asked about power positions. But it shall not be so among you. This question of pecking order is not the way of Jesus. It is not what he desires for his church. And as we unpack this text for this morning's meditation, take heed to what Jesus' desires are for his people in his kingdom. In the lesson from Mark chapter 10, we heard a bold question from the sons of thunder. Who are these sons of thunder, and why are they called that in the first place? To get to know them, we need to go to Luke's gospel account. They asked Jesus this question after a certain Samaritan village rejected Jesus. Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? This episode in Luke chapter 9 shows their ability to ask big things. And at the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus himself gave them the nickname. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. And in today's gospel reading, the sons of thunder asked another bold question. They wanted to know if Jesus would grant them the ability to sit at his left and at his right, seats of power in his future kingdom. You see, they had their eyes set on an earthly kingdom. They still didn't get the reality that Jesus was speaking of his heavenly kingdom. Listen again to their bold question. Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. So how did Jesus reply to this question? Note his reply. You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. In his patience, Jesus handled the ignorance of the request and explained why he couldn't give them the seats. The sons of thunder didn't realize what they were asking. In his answer, Jesus himself gives deference to the Heavenly Father as he says he doesn't have the authority to grant the seats. And did you notice anything else from Jesus' response? How about cups and baptism? What is this cup? In Psalm 16, we hear the language of a cup. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Later, in Mark's account, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed to the Father about one particular cup. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." One's cup can be considered as their portion of life given to them, all of it good and bad alike. The cup that Jesus was referring to here was his passion, the betrayal, the sham trial, the scourging, the crucifixion. He knew the weight of what was coming. But what about the phrase, "Be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized"? Remember, for one to be baptized with blood is code for martyrdom. This is what Jesus is referring to his disciples. The sons of thunder were asking to be seated at a place of power when Jesus comes into his glory. They didn't get that Jesus' throne was the bloody cross on Good Friday, when Jesus won salvation for us all by paying the highest price for this ransom, his very own blood. Indeed, the sons of thunder didn't know what they were asking. But Jesus didn't stop there. He gave a further answer about how his kingdom was to be ordered. This is the Christian model of service. Those who are considered to be great, those to be in places of authority in the church, are to be servants. Anyone that's considered to be first is a slave of all. This is a giant change from the way of the world. In this world, the higher one gets, the more staff they get, the more perks. But that's not the way of the kingdom of God. The printed theme of today's sermon is, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant." Jesus turns the worldly view of greatness on its head. The greatest ones are servants. This is what he means when he says, "But it shall not be so among you." Jesus calls his people out of this world's rat race of power and into his heavenly kingdom. Jesus points to his very own life to show how this works. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here, in Lent 2015, we mark the cost of this particular service of Christ. In Jesus, God became man to die for us. The co-eternal Son of God condescended himself from his glorious throne in heaven, humbling himself to be born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect life for us, and drank the cup set before himself, the death of a slave, crucifixion, to save us from our sins. So Jesus didn't come down from heaven to overthrow the Roman Empire. He came to ransom his people. His blood paid for the sins of all humanity. His blood was the ransom price for the freedom of the world. What a gracious and loving God that we have. And as we heard in the epistle today, Jesus, our high priest, didn't seek out the position. He was called by his Father to be our high priest, to offer the sacrifice for our sins. The cost of this ransom was that innocent life of Jesus, who took our place and won for us eternal life. This is the ultimate act of service for neighbor. So in our churches, we don't lord authority over anyone. Our leaders are servants. They care for their people. This includes teaching, preaching, and yes, from time to time, correcting with patience and Christian love. Jesus provides the way for us to act towards one another, service and love. The question of where one sits doesn't come up at all. That question is left for those of this world who, in this culture of death, wish to have the best of the best before the party is up. You see, Those not of Christ's kingdom think that this world is all that there is. It makes perfect sense for them to focus on who gets the best of the best before their time is up. But since Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many and died on Good Friday, raised on Easter morning, we have the sure confidence that we will join that everlasting throng in heaven above. This is the Christian hope, that we will live with Jesus and all the ransomed believers in heaven above for eternity. In addition to that, we live in Christian community with one another, in these congregations, the embassies of God, in our journey toward our heavenly goal. And in the Old Testament reading, we heard of the new covenant that Yahweh will make with his people. Included in today's reading was that sweet gospel declaration: I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more. This prophecy from Jeremiah reminds us of how Jesus' kingdom is and will be for eternity. Your divine rap sheet is torn up and shredded. There's no more fear when standing before Almighty God. Your slate is wiped clean by Jesus. In his ransoming his life for many, including you, you now have the most sparkling criminal record there is. In the Lutheran Confessions, we call this reality justification. You stand justified, declared righteous before God the Father through the merits of Jesus Christ alone. Justification is the chief doctrine of the Christian church. You don't present your good works before God the Father as proof as to why you should get eternal life. You do stand in thankful humility and point to Jesus Christ as the one who ransomed his life for yours. In baptism, you are buried into the death of Jesus Christ. His perfect life is now credited to you, so that you may inherit and share in his resurrection reality. In short, in baptism, through Jesus, you get heaven. In his kingdom, we are all equal co-heirs. We don't fret about where we'll be sitting in heaven. We'll all be at the best seat there is, living with Jesus for eternity. To dwell in the presence of the Lord for eternity is the sweetest place to be. Amen. What a great sentence to hear from the prophet Jeremiah. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The rulers of the Gentiles often lord their authority over their people. Jesus teaches us what it means to be a leader in the church. It is through service to God and to neighbor. We are not called to request a special seat next to the Son of God. We are called to a life of service here in our Christian community. Jesus turns the issue of greatest and least on its head when answering the sons of thunder. And in Christ's kingdom, those of highest authority are servants and slaves of all, as whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Freed from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil, you get to live a life of service in your varied vocations, as Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many, including you. And in this freedom paid by Jesus himself, we can sing the final stanza of today's office hymn with boldness and confidence. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. May the everlasting love of Christ shine forth into the darkest places from this day and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.